say over a sicha, or we call Joey a shmuz, that I heard from Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Hagoyin Pam, maybe close to 50 years ago. I actually have notes on it. I xeroxed them more than once. I wrote them in Hebrew, that's what I used to do.
He spoke in Yiddish.
He spoke in Yiddish, and I translated to Hebrew. The shmuz actually begins the Perek HaMedavid over here at Parashat Parashat. A very tragic story that we're all aware of. That's the story of the what happened to Dina when she was seen by Shem ben Hamor, and he took her and essentially he raped her. The ones of Dina. You have Perek HaMedavid? Everyone see what I'm reading? Lamadala Pasagala Batesi Dina Basleya Ashiyonda Liyako Dira Bidnazar Bayarosa Shem Ben Hamor Hachibin Nisi Haaretz Bayikachosa Bayishkavosa Bayaneho. Very strong terminology the Torah uses. Bayikach means to basically take her or grab her. Bayishkavosa. Notice it doesn't say Bayishkavu Ito, which would mean what? That he lived with her, but rather by Yishkavosa. He forced himself upon her. Vayaneo. Translate the word Vayaneo.
He afflicted her.
He afflicted her, correct. It was Inui. That's not a relationship which, of course, is of a, shall we say, consensual nature. But the Torah goes on to describe, Vatidbak Nafsha Vidina Bas Yaakov, Vayea Vatanara, Vaydabri Alev Hanara. He decided he's going to marry her. And Pasuke, the Yaakov Shama Kitime Adine Bito. Yaakov heard what they did, that he was metame, what a language. He was metame his daughter. And the word tuma obviously means that there was not a relationship, which of course, of a matrimonial nature. Matrimonial natures are not relationships that involve tuma, but rather involve tara, correct? When one can source with one's wife that one loves, and one has affection for, and one cares about, that's a relationship of tuma. Not tuma chasashon, but tara and kedusha. And this is a relationship of tuma. Yaakov waited until his children came back. They were shepherds. And then the Torah goes on to describe an attempt on the part of Hamor, the father of Shechem, to negotiate with Yaakov. But I want to read the next pasuk, and that's the pasuk that her Apam Zatzal spoke about. Pasuk Zayin. Uvnei Yaakov, Boam and Hasadah Kishamam. They came from the field when they heard what happened. Now look at the Torah's description of their reaction. Vayitatzvu ha'anashim. Can anyone translate that?
Depressed.
They were, have you translated? Depressed. But if you look at the Targum, Jacob is right. But if you look at the Targum translates, V'it nesisu guvraya. What a language. But I don't know if you have mefarshim with you, or you don't have mefarshim with you. The word etzev is a term that in Hebrew was used actually in modern Hebrew. But we have it earlier in Tanakh, in Bereshit. You probably are familiar with it. Namely, where's the word be'etzev found? Be'etzev tel dibanim. If you remember, when after the chait of the Eitz Hadas, so then it says the klala, the olam klala is given to the Nachash and given to Adam and given to Chava. So what did Hashem say to Chava? The other isha amar harbo arbe itzvonech ayin tzadik bet. Vehironech be'etzev tel dibanim. Ve'lishet teshuk asech v'hu yimshol bach. That's what the pasuk says. I'm just reading in the area. So anyway, so it says that ayin tzadik beis refers to what? Be'etzev tel dibanim. How's she going to have children with pain? So the word etzev can mean pain, but it can mean also as Hakayin Agol Me'echad here described it well, namely depression, sadness, melancholia. So they were very, very saddened, but not just saddened. Vayichalayim ma'od. They were very angry. Means there were two reactions. One of, shall we say, sadness, and one of anger. But not just anger. Vayichar. What's in between vayichar? And there's another word to describe anger.
Kas.
Kas, excellent. What's in between kas and charon? Which one is more severe? Charon is clearly much more severe. How do you know that?
There
are many riots from Sukkot to Tanakh, all over Tanakh.
Every time Hashem brings on a battle,
that's right, that's exactly
what Charon Apsa.
You know what Rashi said correctly? I made you a rub now. So Hashem, hope you become one. You ever know? I told someone else before that he may become the Rashi of Tarash Raga. I don't want to say who. So So he said, what? Is that possible? I said, why won't you think it's not possible? There was a young man many, many decades ago who I thought was a complete and total, shall I say it nicely?
Buffoon.
Buffoon, nincompoop, hulu. He today is one of the leading lawyers in the United States. He's also an outstanding Talmud Chacham at the same time. So you never know what's going to be. I'm going to discuss a little bit of that shortly. Anyway, so they're pretty upset, but there's also a lot of anger. Why? Look at the next series of words in the pasuk. Why don't you read this carefully? Ki nivala asa b'Yisrael. Can anyone translate this also? Nivala asa b'Yisrael. The best way always is to look at the Targum. What?
The abomination.
Excellent. The Targum translates as kalom, something which is so embarrassing, so mortifying, so humiliating. Nivala. Nivala is related to which word that you know?
Nivela.
What is Nivela?
It means carcass. Dead.
A carcass, thank you. Nivela is an animal that dies without a heter shrita. It dies, and there's no shrita. Oh, by the way, question the Gemara Baba Kama. Let me see if anyone can tell me. A Gemara Baba Kama is the first parak that you learned already. Yes, correct. Now I remember it. I don't learn Baba Kama like you do. Yavi Aduda Lebezdin. That's what Aduda means. How do you translate Aduda? Okay, the way Tyson writes over there on the spot, Tyson points out, Arua Lebezdin. Arua, because the Nevela did not have a Heter Shrita. And anyway, Nevela also be Yisrael. There's something here that was done that was, I don't know if you know the term, which is a term you should be familiar with, but perhaps you're not. I like to, I'm very into words, I'm very into language. And my father showed, that's what he trained me to do. Nevala Asabi Israel. What is the Nevala over here? Nishkavit Bat Yaakov, to, we don't have to translate that. And then the Torah goes on to say, V'chein lo yaseh. What are those last three words? V'chein lo yaseh, what does that mean?
It
should not be done. Those words are, aren't they seemingly
awkward.
Superfluous. Awkward, tautological. Would you not say so? Extra. Seems to be unnecessary. It says, it's pretty clear. They're sad, they're angry, there's some abomination, as you, it should be translated beautifully. And this is, the chen lo yaseh, should not be done. The pasuk is very difficult. Because, and Rashi translates over here, the chen lo yaseh, if you have a Rashi, you can actually see it. So Rashi translates, interesting, that even among the Umos HaOlam, even among the nations of the world, they didn't behave this way. They have a certain degree of propriety, a certain kind of, shall we say, norms of behavior. And even this is not, shall we say, acceptable. So that's what the Torah says here, V'chein lo yaseh. That's how Rashi learns over here. But the fact of the matter is that this pasuk is a very difficult pasuk. Now, V'chein lo yaseh, one could argue, as some Rishonim actually say, that we're talking about the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. We're not talking about, shall we say, one of the plebeians, someone from a family of peons. We're talking about someone from an aristocratic family, and to go ahead and this kind of behavior, this kind of skullduggery with someone from an aristocratic family, something which is v'chein lo yaseh, it's absolutely unconscionable. But of course, did Shechem know, shall we say, about Yaakov Avinu? Did he have any clue
maybe
who Yaakov Avinu was? Did he have any understanding that Yaakov, Chazal say, Merkava l'shechina, Chazal say, the Gemara says, Achul, you probably know the Gemara, that the Yaakov Avinu is Chakuk al Kisi al Kavod. But, so, there's a famous Beis Halevi. So we'll start with the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi is whom? The great-grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. And by the way, he's named after him. His name was, the Beis Halevi's name was Yossi Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And a very absolutely colorful, romantic, swashbuckling personality, besides being the Gadol HaDor, incredible Talmid Chacham. And so the Rebbe is named after him. So the Beis Halevi and cites the Gemara in Baba Kama. I wouldn't even bother you if weren't the Gemara in Baba Kama. You didn't get to it yet. I think it's the Gemara at the end of Hakenes, if I'm not mistaken. The Gemara in the Asamach Beis. It's a famous Gemara. And it's used actually by the Briskas in a number of different contexts, but I'll tell you the context that it's used here. The Gemara says, if I give, let's say, a woman a dinar zohar, I give her a dinar of zohar, I translate dinar, a golden coin. I give her a golden coin, and I tell her that be careful with this coin, because it's a silver coin. I mean, I don't tell her it's a golden coin, I tell her it's a silver coin. But be careful with it. And that's if she damages the coin. So now the question is, the halacha, what does she have to pay? Does she have to pay the value of a gold coin? Or does she have to pay the value of a silver coin? Because what did I tell her? I told her, be careful, it's a silver coin.
She can't
but
see
she
it.
Damages it. So the Gemara says that she has to pay the value of a gold coin, even though she didn't know it was a gold coin. I told her it was a silver coin. One second, let me just get both cases down. You'll see what's going on here. The Gemara explanation. What's the explanation of this halacha? So the Gemara said, because you tell her, why did you damage this coin? Even according to you, that it was only what kind of a coin?
Silver.
A silver coin. But you have no right to damage it. I gave it to you for Shmira, to guard it, to watch it. You have no right to go ahead and damage this coin. Therefore, you're chayiv, the whole thing. However, the Gemara says, Poshabo, let's say she's Poshea. Let's say she was negligent. So then what's the halacha? The din that she pays only the value of what? Of a silver coin. Why? Because she says, I only accept upon myself what kind of Shmira?
Yes.
Shmira of a silver coin. I accept upon myself Shmira of a gold coin. That's the Gemara says. A very famous, interesting Gemara. It needs an analysis in and of itself, but I'm just telling you more or less the Gemara that the Beis HaLevi applies it over here. Says the Beis HaLevi, read this Pasuk again. Pasuk Zayin. Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael, lishkav es bas Yaakov. Even if you did not know that it was the daughter of Yaakov, then you have the right to engage in this kind of behavior. You have the right to go ahead and commit this kind of act of ones. Was it something that was appropriate to do? Of course not. It was absolutely unconscionable. And v'chein lo yoseh. And this is something which is absolutely, as I said, interdicted completely. So therefore, nevala also b'Yisrael lishkav es bas Yaakov. Therefore, we're going to throw the book at you. Because even if you claim you didn't know, like the first case I mentioned, where the woman actually, I tell her, be careful, it's a silver coin, but really it's a gold coin. She's got to pay for the whole thing because she damaged it. And that's exactly the same thing here. So the Beis HaLevi, that's what the Torah writes, what it does. Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael lishkav es bas Yaakov, v'chein lo yoseh. So essentially, even though she didn't realize it was the daughter of Yaakov, it's irrelevant to commit this kind of dastardly act, to go ahead and rachmanu l'tzlan be ma'anes, a young woman, is something which is so unconscionable and so dastardly. And so, shall we say, something which is the enormity of it is just indescribable. And that's why we're going to throw the book at you. So now Rabbi Pam Zatzal, so he now, from here, he ventured forward and decided to extrapolate from this, Beis HaLevi, and now that's what I'm going to basically say over the Shmuz, which really starts over here.
They're not the 50 Shalom.
I'm sorry?
They're not just the 50 Shalom.
First of all, this is actually the four Matan Torah. So therefore, we can put it this way. And I have already had this discussion with Shimon. When did I have it with him? Where's
this
chavrusa? Who told you?
Roshiva told us about this.
I told you about the discussion. Where's my two Mimini? No, Mismol, Gabriel.
Roshiva and Joe.
That's right.
Correct.
I had this discussion with them about a week and a half ago. A lengthy discussion.
But he loves her in this case.
What?
He loves her in this case.
That is incorrect, and that's what I would like to discuss, but I can't because that would take another half hour. And I discuss with them personally. If you look carefully, I don't. I have. I want to say, "Oh, the Shmuz Rabbi Pop." Can I do that? That's what I came to do. Anyway, but I, you are Isaac Shlita. I'll tell you what. Can we discuss this tomorrow night instead of that other topic? What?
For the other topic.
Oh boy.
What's the other one?
Soften the top.
No, that's not good.
I know, that's tomorrow's topic. No, tomorrow's topic is first TikTok. Then we get to the soften the top. Anyway, but I would discuss it with you to show you the psukim that you are completely and totally incorrect. By the way, notice all the language. First of all, Vayikach Osa, Vayishkav Osa, Vayaneh, Apostle Gimel, as you pointed out correctly, Vatidbak Nafsho, what a language. Vatidbak Nafsho, what does that mean? Oh, Dvenkus. Vayav, first comes Vatidbak Nafsho, then Vayav, then Vaydaber. And by the way, the names here are also very significant. Shrem, Chamor, there's a lot here. There's lots to talk about over here. But anyway, if you learn the Ramban, which I'm sure you do, look in Ches. This is just an aside. I'm just talking to Isaac now, so just pretend you didn't hear me. Pasuk Ches Vaydaber, Chamor Yitam Limor, Shrem Beni, Choshka Nafsho Bebitchem. Wow, so you can say, wow, he's got a Cheshek for her. The language is very, very, shall we say, revealing if you know Hebrew well, if you have an understanding of Tanakh, and if you know the Rambans, and then you can put it all together. Okay, but you don't want to discuss this, what can I tell you? Chabal. Okay, another occasion, fine.
I'll read it.
Oh, please do. Okay, now I'm back to our issue. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that Rabbi Pam quoted. The Gemara says the following. I'm going to read a pasuk in Koheles that the Gemara quotes. It says in Koheles, Ki es kol ma'aseh elokim yavim b'mishpat al kol ne'elam in tov yibra. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish all of us, chas v'shalom, even on something that a person does not know if it's good or bad. Again, I'll read the pasuk. Ki es kol ma'aseh elokim Hashem is going to judge us. I'll call the alam, even things that we're not aware of in Tobi Ibra. So now the Gemara in Chagiga Dafei, I wrote down the Gemara for myself. It says, Rabbi Yochanan Kimati Bahaikra Bachi. Rabbi Yochanan is the cry when he came to this Pasuk. And he said, I'm not going to read the entire Gemara, it's a long, long Gemara over here. What does that mean? I'll call the alam, things that I don't know about, should be punished for? Omar Rab. So the Gemara now gives two examples of what the pasuk is referring to. One is where I do something in front of my friend who finds what I'm doing to be disgusting. Namely, I guess the best word would be to use, I take a kina. A kina is a
lice.
Lice, or a louse, lashon yochid, lice, lashon rabim. And what do? I squish it. That's what one of my children uses that language. I'm not familiar with that verb, but I guess it must be a verb.
Squish.
So I squish a kina, and he finds it to be absolutely disgusting. Correct? And let's say he's an istinist. Istinist means he's someone who's very finicky, squeamish, and it nauseates him, this kind of behavior, etc., etc. But I didn't know that that guy was an istis. I didn't know he was such a finicky kind of fellow. How do you translate finicky? It means sensitive to everything. People who are, you know, we have people like that. We have a few of them in Shiva. What was that? Don't say any names, please. Anyway, so we have one or two types like that in Shiva. And therefore, I thought, so the Gemara says, this is cool. I'll call Ne'elam, and I'm going to be Rachman Litzlan. Hashem will be Toveami for the fact that he, shall we say, is in tsar over what I did, even though I did not know. Because what should I have done? There's something missing in my cover that my chaver. I should have been so careful, even though I didn't realize it, etc., etc. But somehow he has feelings, and I was not sensitive to them, even though I didn't know about them. How can I be responsible? What am I, Nubby? What am I supposed to know every single person what they are sensitive to? That's one. Then the Gemara gives another example. Someone who, how shall we put it? Harok b'tnei chavera b'nimas. He expectorates in front of his friend.
What? Expectorates.
Spit.
I actually didn't know that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Expectorates.
My father also taught me to speak metaphorically. Anyway, so he expectorates in front of his friend, and the guy finds it to be absolutely disgusting. Now, let me tell you something. I grew up, you will not believe this. I don't think you'll believe me. But I'll tell you the truth. I know that. but this is what I saw in the Bronx. Let me tell you. Okay, maybe they don't have this. They had what they call, I don't know, I don't think, the question whether his father have it, I don't know if they do. They have an Ashkenazi synagogue, so they call it a spittoon. Anybody know what a spittoon is?
I saw this
as a little kid.
They spit into a box.
Gross is not the right word. They would do the following. They would more or less gather, how shall I put it, in the course of davening, they would gather all their saliva, and then when it came to the middle of Aleinu, where they said, Shehei mishtachavim lehevim barig, they bow down to whom? To nothingness. And larig, how do you say larig?
Emptiness,
nothingness, vanity. Then they would, in Yiddish, you would say, Shpayos! They would expectorate into this spittoon, which was
right. A little word.
Expectorate.
I saw this as a kid, 3-4 years old. I said to my father, what in heaven's name is going on? So by the way, Chabad.
And I was thinking about it. So
does Chabad do it today?
I don't know, but it says to my
son. I'm asking you that with Chabad Shul.
I do not know.
Chabad, sorry, okay. But you, anyway, anyone here
knows what?
Okay, your student says it. So this was a practice that basically has now almost completely, as far as I know, disappeared. Baruch Hashem. I say, Baruch Hashem. Do you know what this did to me?
Where did you spit?
In a spittoon!
What is
a spittoon? It's a metal kind of canister.
It's a nice cigarette. It's a spit away
from it. I'd rather not describe it. It's too gruesome. What? I was 3-4 years old.
Wait, my citizens.
What was I doing in shul, you're asking? Can my father, Olam Shalom, when I was that age, my father took me to shul. What do you say to that? Or to synagogue. My father took me to synagogue, you'll see. And there was no nonsense. I've been going to synagogue my entire life. Five, six, four, even before. My father took me there, and he held on to me very tight. And I don't know what I was doing over there. I didn't know what was happening over there. But also, by the time I was 6 or 7 years old, I already knew how to pray, as you would say, or as I say, how to daven. And I was already doing my thing. And my father thought I should go 3 times a day. What, has he lost it? Okay, anyway, so this is what I saw as a little kid. I was absolutely mortified. And I associate the synagogue with this. This is what they do in the synagogue. They expectorate. That's all they do there. It's expectorate.
You can expect.
That's all they do is expectorate in the synagogue. Crazy. So I found this Gemara a few years later, and right away I said to my father, wow, they violated this Gemara. I was about 8 or 9 years old. So Rabbi Tam then proceeded to give some other examples, which I really don't think I should say in a shiur that's being taped, but okay.
Good for a palm.
That's right. Rabbi Tam, HaGoyin HaTzadik, he was a little HaTzadik, he said, you know what Rabbi Kamenetsky told me in 1983? Rabbi Kamenetsky, HaGoyin, Rabbi Kamenetsky, the Dor LaDor. I met with him, my wife and I met with him in 1983. 2 years before he was nifter, and he told me that Rabbi Pam is the Chavetz Chaim of our generation. Do you think I knew who the Chavetz Chaim was? Do you think I knew who Rabbi Pam was? I go to his shmuzin, Sichov, when I'm 13, 14 years old, in Yiddish. Who's he speaking to? Avrechen, people in Kollel, Torah Das. And I was there because I had nothing to do on Friday, I explained to him. 2 hours traveling there from the Bronx on the train, 2 hours on the way back, an hour and a half hanging out with these people who are older than I am, probably twice my age, and more, and I went there, and I had a tremendous influence on my life. I loved Rabbi Tam my entire life, as long as he was living, obviously. So Rabbi Tam then gave the following examples. You'll see the examples. You use the washroom, or call the privy, and then you leave the place a mess. He said this to the Abrechen in the Kollel. I said, what is going on over here? Means you leave the dishes on the floor, the seat is wet. Rabbi Tam said this in Yiddish. That is a lack of derech eretz, and that's something that a person will be rebellious on, will take into task. By the way, by me is not even a hamamina, such to engage in such a behavior. My father Shom, I would be killed. I wouldn't be alive. And he gave other examples. A person takes a candy wrapper, and you eat a candy in the middle of the street, and you then simply throw the wrapper on the floor. Why not? There are people in the streets that clean it. That's what they, don't they hire in New York City for that purpose? I'll give you a marshal of Adab Adoma in Torah Shraga. So there are people who work here in the lunchroom, but it would seem that it's part of a posture that the person, after he finishes eating, should take away, put away his shall we say, whatever his utensils that he used. What are you saying? That go shoot it? A young man a few years ago, a Shun'al student told this to me. I said to him, why don't you put away your things? He ate right with me. So he said to me, Rabbi. I don't think he knew it was a Shira, so he called me Rabbi. Thank God for that. Anyway, so he said to me, Rabbi, don't you have people working for you here? That's their job. So you know what I wanted to do to him? Exactly. Basically, I wanted to pulverize him and divide him into 12 pieces and send out one channel to all the shipping. So. But I didn't do it. The reason why I didn't do it is because there's an Easter of Chayla Machadero, and I learned Baba Kama, and the Easter of Los Sierzach. I couldn't be serious. So I couldn't do it. I'll tell him back. You know what I had that fellow do? He cleaned up the entire dining room.
Why are you listening?
Didn't
know the
Rashiva. A rabbi told him to clean it up. Then I told him who I was. He was shocked. So now Rabbi Pam went further. There are people who are very sensitive to all kinds of things. We have to try one of this. Do you want to give me a few minutes? I got to finish this. I'll try to explain. we have to be sensitive to other people's sensibilities. I'll give you another example. Rabbi Pam actually, he commented that we don't know even, and I'm in a better position to judge this than you do, but often we don't even know who machaberim are, what their potentials are, how they can become. I have a better perspective than you do, like several decades, and I can tell you, that, as I said before, I had chaberim. I don't think I really knew who they were. Today, these chaberim, some of them are, first of all, outstanding lawyers. They became tremendous lawyers, really brilliant, brilliant lawyers. And then a few others became outstanding talmidei chacham. I would say three or four of them, almost kimat gadol hador. I'm not one of them. Don't be worried. I'm one of the tani hador, one of the simple Simons of this generation. But there were people. I don't think I should mention that.
Exactly, because all of those his friends, like
Chaberim, who became outstanding Rabbonim, and some of them outstanding Magid Ashir, not all of them, but a number of them, and who would have known? Who would have possibly intuited that such a thing could happen? So Rabbi Pam said the following. He said they're gonna later on, after 120 years, they're gonna bring a Pinkas, which is a divine document, and they'll say that you know how you treated this one, and you know how you treated that one, and you know who he is now? But I didn't know! How was I supposed to know that he's going to become this, and he's going to become that? How in heaven's name? What am I, Navi? What am I supposed to have, Ruach HaKodesh? So they're going to tell you, even according to your, shall we say, your understanding, that you think that he's a simple head yod, but they'll quote him the Gemara in Baba Kama. Namely, this woman who thought that she was being given, I told her, it's a dino shel kesef, but it was a dino shel zav. And now she's going to have to pay for the dino shel zav because she had no right. Ki nevolo osa b'Yisrael lishkam es bas Yaakov v'chein lo yoseh. Rabbi Pam gave another example. There's a din in Yerodeya, a very fascinating halacha, that when God forbid someone dies, they're supposed to give the person a hesped, correct? The hesped is a eulogy. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Mitzvah gedolo lahaspin hames karoi, who's supposed to be masped the mace, umosifin tzat bishvachav velo yafli. What does that mean? You should add a little bit, but don't exaggerate. So the Taz asks, what are you talking about? Add a little bit. That's called what? Sheker. Mali sheker ma'at, mali sheker harbe. He says, what's the difference? Did you lie a lot? Or you lie a little bit? So the Birkei Yosef, you know, Birkei Yosef, the Chida, one of the great Sephardic luminaries. Wow, the Chida, I can't even mention his name. I don't think I have the right to. So the Chida writes in Birkei Yosef the following hesber. He says, what does it mean? The answer is it means that often we don't fully recognize the potential of individuals. So even if we eat a little bit, it's not sheker. Because generally speaking, there are a lot of things that we don't know about people. And a lot of things that they accomplish that we only find out when they pass away. And Rabbi Roblowski, Mashiach HaKadosh of Yeshiva, one of his favorite, probably his favorite personality is whom? Rabbi Shteinman. You probably figured that out by now. Every story he tells about Rabbi Shteinman, and I actually went and bought the Sefer because of Rabbi Roblowski Shlita, and the Sefer was astounding. Astounding Sefer about Rabbi Shteinman, who was such an onov and such a goyim in learning. But everything he did was with unbelievable modesty, incredible tzidkus, righteousness, and he had no, literally, the way he lived very frugally and very simply. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not sure we can use such terminology to describe that, because it was even less than that. And yet there were things we discovered about Rabbi Shteinman that were unbelievable. There were many Gedolei Yisrael that I was zochet to, I thought I knew them, and then when they passed away, they told stories about them that were so unbelievable. I'm talking about a whole bunch of Gedolei Yisrael that I was zochet to meet in my lifetime, including my own Rebbe, Maran, the Gadol Hador, the one who saved all Klal Yisrael. I saw eventually that's how. I heard things about him after his death. I was totally unaware. And I learned by him many, many years. But I was totally unaware of a lot of his chesed and his kindness and his unbelievable sensitivity and concern for Klal Yisrael. Mind-boggling. And the same about all the Gedolei Yisrael you see it all the time. Rabbi Pam quoted a Sefer, which is a very fascinating Sefer. I actually bought the Sefer then, when I heard him speak about this, maybe I was 14 years old. there's a magid who appeared to the Beis Yosef. You know the Beis Yosef? Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. He also wrote the Beis Yosef. There's a magid that appeared to him. What does that mean? You'll ask Yosef. He'll explain it. I can't. He's a Sfaradi Tahor. They don't understand these things better than I do. The magid appears to the Beis Yosef, and the magid tells him the following. The magid tells him, your wife has a very, very hard neshama.
What's a magid? A malach?
A malach. Appeared to him, I guess, for chalom, for dreams. I don't have such dreams. I don't have nightmares. But anyway, the magid appears to the Beis Yosef and tells him, you have a wife. She's a very, very high madrega. You have to be mechabit her unbelievably. Now, I can imagine, said Rabbi Pam, that you can assume that the Beis Yosef was mechabit his wife. There's no reason to assume otherwise. Obviously, he knew how to treat a wife, and Beis Yosef certainly valued his wife unquestionably, but still, that the magid had to go and tell him that she was in a madrega even much higher than he thought she was. And that is something which is very, very significant. So going back to the Pesukim again, because sometimes we don't realize, shall we say, whom we are dealing with and whom we are, shall we say, involved in. I had a chavrusa. With a massive Talmud Chacham. Shall I reveal who it is?
Yes.
Rav Moshe Nechemya Reichman's father. I learned with him in Chavrusa, Rabbi Heshi Reichman Shlita, for almost 7 years. We used to learn in Washington Heights. Washington Heights is an area where Yeshiva Rosi is found. We learned in the afternoon, just after I already had Smicha. I was a rabbi in a shul in the Bronx, and I used to learn in the afternoon with him for almost between 3 and 4 hours a day. We basically learned all shas together. We learned in a shul called the Dambu Shtivo in Washington Heights, like a little shtivo, Siddush Shtivo. You know where it is? Yes, Rabbi Reichman, he'll tell you. Rabbi Reichman Jr., Shlita, Marina Rabbeinu, he'll tell you where the shtivo is. It's not far from where his parents live.
How are you going to learn the Gemara with the word Shimas yet?
Me ayin yavo ezvi me im Hashem. So I say shalai. Anyway, I love this guy. Anyway, so we learned there. Kimat most of shas. 3-4 hours a day. Rosh Hashanah. We went to. Zoyim, Mayim, Lashim, Zivim, Kashim, and unfortunately we didn't finish Taros, but almost. Okay, well, I know why, because I moved to Providence, Rhode Island, which is in the middle of nowhere. I never heard of it. Anyone ever hear? There's a state called Rhode Island? I do hear about it.
First shul was there, no?
That's correct, but that's not Turo. Providence. Where is it?
Turo.
That's not Turo. What's the name of the city? Newport, correct. Newport. You know, with Newport, anybody been there? It's glad to go to that shul. There's actually right now a big tumult about that shul. Okay, I won't get into all the legal details. Anyway, but so whatever it is, so years later, I hear about Rabbi Reichman Sr. and what he does in the yeshiva. And I don't know if I should say this. I hope you won't tell Rabbi Reichman I'm saying this. I'm talking about his son, Rabbi Shlechem Yishlita. I come to the yeshiva, the YU, a number of times in the course of those years. And I see at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's a tish. That who is, shall we say, running? Rabbi Heshi Reichman, his father, the one I love to have with. 1 o'clock in the morning, this is already 25, 30 years ago, way before Rabbi Moshe Weinberger appeared on the scene, way before all the other, what shall we call them? Neo Hasidic people appeared on the scene, correct? Way before all this. He's running a tish at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Who's sitting at that tish? If I were to tell you, who's sitting at that tish?
Ray Olson.
Ray Olson was not exactly at that point in time, shall we say, in this vogue. But anyway, he was much younger. I see sitting there all the people who had all kinds of difficulties. And he's sitting with them and trying to be mechazik them. And talking to them, and singing with them, and schmoozing with them. He did this for decades. I was astounded by him. I love Chabusovit. I love Chabusovit, one of the premium Talmidim Rav Soloveitchik, who wrote the Rishim Shurim, as Joey mentioned, and continues to write them, and Meir B'Chamishim Shona. And now, I thought I was only with a Briska, with a Litvak, you know, and now I see a guy who is crazy. What's going on here? He has Rachmanas on Kol Yisrael. What's he, off his rocker? Chesed, mind-boggling. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if I should say this. The genetic code that was transmitted. So I'm going back here. So Rabbi Bach, just continuing his shmooz, if you will. If we were to really realize whatever we do has such an impact, namely every tefillah, every birchas hamazon, every bracha that we would say, I was zeicher to see Rabbi Pam David many, many times. Usually at the shmooz, after the shmooz, they were davening, they were davening. I was absolutely in awe of this man. When he said a bracha, crazy! How do you say a bracha so slowly? His bracha took basically the time it takes to daven here shachas. I'm exaggerating slightly.
Longer.
The bracha was said with such kavanah. And everything he did was done with such a smile. He had an infectious smile on his face. Where he would talk to me, I couldn't believe it. He's talking to me. I'm a young, say we just fill the blanks. Anyway, that's what I am. And he spoke to me with such a simcha, such an ahava. Even years later, when I was up in the scene in Toronto, he used to come to Toronto to visit his son, also to raise money for Russian Jews and all kinds of other projects that he actually was involved in. It was really amazing. So, if a person were to realize the koach tefillah that we have, you know, there's a very cute little, I call it a joke, but it's not a joke, unfortunately, and it's in this week's Pasha. Was it this week's Pasha or last week's Pasha? Last week's Pasha, sorry. But in last week's Pasha, if you remember, Yaakov has a dream, and what happens at one point, that Yaakov wakes up and says, Vayira Vayomar, you want to see it? You can see it on page 67 of the pagination here. Perek. What does that mean? How what?
Awesome.
How awesome is this place? Ain't Zekim, Eselokim. And my father showed, they're not like the way people behave in shul. My father was just, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you some of these things. Anyone would talk in shul? Oh boy. My father would go over to them. No, that was not the beginning. Don't think that's the beginning, the opening of salvo. He would stare at them. He would not like it. We would stare at them, and then my father would say, "Shah!" Scream like that, and tell them, "Shah," to be quiet, etc., etc. So I was a little kid. So I said to my father, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? So he said, they are being the vazeh. They are disgracing the Beit HaKnesses. Then my father told me over this word. Manoyah Mokamazeh. He translated, how shreklach is this place? And he translated shreklach. How horrific is this place? You know what's going on, like a shul, like a marketplace? Oh, it must be a shul. Exactly, makes it look easy. It must be a shul, a Orthodox shul. Joke, it's a joke, okay? It's not a joke. It's unfortunately not a joke. So Rabbi Kam said, if we were to recognize the value of the koach tefillah, and the koach of the bracha, and how we connect to Hashem, and if we were to recognize it, wow, we would not talk during Chazor HaShatz. Okay, there's some people who learn Chazor HaShatz, they learn Daf Yomi. Is that such a Havera? That should be the worst Havera that we do. I'm not sure. That should be the worst Havera that we do to learn the Chazar Sashatz. But really, once you listen to Chazar Sashatz, Rabbi Pam, he said, I did not learn Daf Yomi, Chazar Sashatz. I never saw him learn Daf Yomi. Rav Soloveitchik, never, never. He kept his feet together. He was looking at the Siddur, answering Amen to the Bracha, every single Bracha. I saw him not tens of times, hundreds and hundreds of times. Every Gomasra, Moshe Feinstein, Al Kamenetsky, I watched them, I observed them. My Rebbe had Nissan Alvin. How could they weren't doing Daf Yomi Chazar Sashatz? This guy's just unconscionable. May Hashem bless him. So the answer is that is what the Pasuk says in Kohelet here. Al Kol Ne'ela. I want to tell you over, I heard from Mendel Zaks, the son of the Chavetz Chaim. He'll say, what connection did I have to him? He was the Bochin in YU. He gave the Bochinus in YU. Can you imagine? How good Rabbi Mendel Zaks. I didn't have a clue who he was. I'm in high school, freshman high school. He comes to give us a Bochinus. They told me he's the son of all the Chabad's Chaim. Okay. I'm sure the Chofetz Chaim is a nice fella.
He's also a nice fella.
He happened to know Kol HaTorah Kula B'Chad. My father asked me a kasha in a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, which I didn't clue. Was it, you know, Divrei HaYomim? Chronicles? The end of the scriptures? Maybe you never heard of it. Is it like a Sefer Divrei HaYomim, Aleph Divrei HaYomim Beis? You know what I'm talking about? Tanakh? Scriptures? You got it? My father had a question. So he told me I should ask Rabbi Zaks. He probably knows the answer. So I prepared the question carefully. I was 13 years old. And he came to give us a bechina in the high school on the Gemara we're learning. He didn't have any Gemara. He knew the whole thing by heart. So my father had a kasha, had a Rashi in Divrei HaYomim. So I prepared the Rashi. I memorized the Rashi. Probably spent 2 weeks memorizing the Rashi. I come to him. I don't speak Yiddish, but I also understand Yiddish. I spoke to him in broken Hebrew, whatever it was. I don't know what I spoke to him. Maybe pidgin Yiddish, whatever you want to call it. I tell him over the Rashi. So first he says to me, he pats me, a little guy, and he told me I didn't quote the Rashi properly. And then he proceeds to say over the entire Rashi by heart. Me love. And then answered the question on the spot. I mean, it was clear the man, like, let's say, had this gargantuan knowledge of Torah Tor Kula. Anyway, so Rabbi Mendelsachs told us the following, and members from my high school days. And Rabbi Palm repeated this. So he apparently was aware of it. He probably knew Rabbi Mendelsachs, because they were a similar age. So Rabbi Mendelsachs said he once traveled with his father-in-law, the Chofetz Chaim, in some wagon, in an agola. And after the trip was over, so Rabbi Mendel paid the wagon driver for the trip, like you would pay someone who takes you in a taxi. So the Chofetz Chaim said to him, "What were you thinking when you paid the wagon driver?" I said, "What are you also thinking? The guy took me on a trip, I gotta pay the taxi driver." So I paid him. So he said, "No. You don't realize how many mitzvahs you have kaim when you pay the taxi driver. Number one, v'yomo sitin schara, that is supposed to pay the person the same day that he does, shall we say, the avodah field. Number two, lo solon pula sotchi yitra boker, I'm supposed to wait till the next morning. Number three, maybe he was someone who was not so, shall we say, well off. V'chzaktabo, look at all the mitzvahs you have kaim. You didn't realize how many mitzvahs you have kaim. That's what the Chofetz Chaim told his son-in-law. And so he said, Rabbi Mendelsohn, what? I did all that? I just paid him. I just gave him some money to pay for the taxi ride. So this is what Rabbi Palm was trying to point out. And I think this is a very important yisod. And he said it actually in the context of this pasuk. And I'll just end with another comment that he made, Rabbi Palm, which I think is a very gorgeous and beautiful comment, that we don't realize that if we, let's say, help a chaver who's having difficulty learning Baba Kama. Baba Kama is not an easy masechta. You probably figured that out by now. It's not only not easy, I would say it's pretty difficult among the masechtas that we are familiar with. Keren, Meshuneh, Bishus HaRabin, Yesh Hadol, the Tzoriris. What kind of funny stuff is this? Funny stuff and crazy stuff. So if I help a chaver out who's having difficulty, just translate the Gemara, and so I'll say, why should I help him out? Let him go, help himself. I'll let him find a Rebbe to do this, try to work, but I help people, and I'm willing to go ahead and extend myself, and you don't realize the kind of schar that a person's going to get. I will tell you one little story, and I'm not saying it out of braggadocio, I have nothing to brag about. I'm saying it honestly and truthfully. I have a chaver who sends me every single year, ala yom hazeh, every single year, on Purim, I get the shachmas. It's going on for as long as I'm married, 45 years. He lives in Chutzal. So I keep calling him, why are you sending me the shachmas? I only started about 24 years ago. Okay, when I'm in Chutzal, as I understand, he sends to Toronto, he sends to St. Louis, he sends to Providence, wherever I live, he sends the shachmas. Okay, we're in the United States, or Toronto, which is, of course, the 51st state. So anyway, so okay, obviously, I think he's not here. But kids, I mean, you say that the history of Canada began with the War of 1812, and I knew the War of 1812. But kids are something, that's how I became, they became very enamored of me in Toronto. I said the first week I was there. That was the end of my, shall we say, Hatzlach in Toronto. Anyway, but then, so I understand, but I moved to Israel. Why in heaven's name does he send me this massive box of Mishrachmanos every single year? I don't know what I said. So one day I asked him about 15 years ago, and then he starts crying. He comes from a totally non-Frum family, totally non-Frum. And I actually in my youth, I spent a lot of time with him.
On the basketball courts?
It's hard for you to believe that. I know Gabe, you don't believe it. I was once on the basketball courts. I wasn't too bad. But anyway, wasn't too shabby, as they say. I wasn't like some of the people there. I wasn't Avi Schneider. He's the God of Hador. but anyway, but I was not too bad. But I also spent time with him, learning with him. He, Bashir, had no background. I spent a number of years learning with him, struggling over Chumash, struggling over Gemara and Mishnayos. And he told me, Ala Yom Hazeh, he's Makir Tov to me, and he's also from, he said, because of not only myself, but probably my brothers also were strictly involved with him as well, including one that you know, Hagoyin Avraham David, Hagoyin HaTzadik. That's what Rabbi Teller calls my brother. Yes, Hagoyin HaTzadik. He's true. He's completely true. I am also God's goon at the Gimel. I don't want to say what the Tzadik says. I shouldn't say that about myself. But okay, but it's true. Anyway, so the opposite of my brother. So the Kitzur, he says, he owes me Hakar Sato. Every year he sends me this probably $150 package of the Shachmanos. So it's amazing what you don't realize what we can do and what we can accomplish. And everything that we do, singing Zmiros on Shabbos, wow. And other people hear it, and you're mechazik them, and you create an atmosphere, and you guys are doing it. You're doing the Mitzvah here. You are influencing me. You're being mekayem me. I'm very happy that Baruch Hashem, I have someone to be mekayem. And the whole yeshiva is being mekayem me. Thank you. Yishei koach. Chazak u'baruch. And so, this is all embedded in the pasuk. Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael, lishka v'zbas Yaakov v'chein lo yaseh. We are to realize, al kol ne'elam, so many things that even though we're not aware of it, but our ability to do some incredible things and change the world, we have that recognition, we can unquestionably take the world and Hashem and totally conquer it and bring everyone back to Hashem's Barach with all the Tzvekas. Amen.